Many commercial pilots throughout the history of aviation have witnessed UFOs, but unfortunately discussing their encounters has been historically taboo and met with the same cancerous stigma that meets all of ufology. Today I wanted to talk about the most famous UFO case in Spain, the Manises incident. Because what if I told you about a UFO sighting a pilot couldn't ignore? In fact, this sighting was so prominent it led to the first ever commercial flight being grounded due to UFOs. Guys, it is UAP Gerb. I am back to analyze some more of the most interesting UFO cases and encounters throughout history. Today, the 1979 Manises incident, where the sighting of UFOs caused a commercial flight to be grounded and fighter jets to be scrambled. Now, I'm going to use some of the original audio of this sighting from the actual pilots in this incident, but upon my search, I found a channel called MPC Flight Recreations who actually incorporated the original audio with an edit of what this flight and encounter may have looked like. So I'm going to use some of his clips and I'm going to include his video link down in the video description. Highly recommend checking that video and his channel out because it's pretty cool. On November 11th, 1979, pilot Javier Lerdo de Tejeda was forced to make an emergency landing of his TAE Super Caravelle and 109 passengers at the Manises Airport in Valencia, Spain. This emergency landing was not due to mechanical failures or rowdy passengers, but because of the pilot's fear of colliding with a pair of strange red lights in the sky. Javier's flight departed the island of Mallorca after a refueling stop for the craft's voyage from Salzburg, Austria, to La Palmas near 2247 hours. It's worth mentioning the other men in the cockpit of this super caravelle, co-pilot Jose Ramon Zuaza Nagore and flight mechanic Francisco Javier Rodriguez. At roughly 2305 hours over the Mediterranean, the flight mechanic warned the crew of two visible, powerful red lights to the front left of the airplane at an altitude of near 23,000 feet. The crew radioed to air traffic control in Barcelona to determine the source of the lights, but were told there were no other aircraft on or near Captain Javier's flight path. The pair of red lights appeared to draw closer to the aircraft. The men were able to discern the strange lights as two powerful sources of light with no visible solid body. When changing altitude to avoid any sort of collision with the lights, the pair mirrored the craft's new trajectory and stayed less than half a mile to 5 miles away from the plane.
A las 10 de la posición, a unas 3 millas a la izquierda de su posición ahora.
Afirmativo.
7297, ¿me confirma las luces están en el mar o están en el aire?
The vectoring of the lights towards the aircraft, alongside the fact no other aircraft were operating in the area, Captain Javier aborted the flight and made an emergency landing at the Manises Airport in Valencia.
Incremental rate de ascenso a través de 280. tráfico este sube mucho más rápido que nosotros. Se acerca cada vez más.
297 recibida.
Hacer una tarde 297, pongo rumbo a Valencia.
He rationalized flying near the UFO completely violating all aerial safety rules alongside the inability to make an evasive maneuver in the event of a collision was not worth the risk of his crew and 109 passengers. Just prior to the emergency landing, the crew detected three new UFO signals on radar, each with an estimated diameter of 200 meters. It's worth noting these lights were witnessed by Manisei's airport personnel, as well as military personnel, specifically Marines, on the nearby Manisei Air Force Base. Due to one of these signatures passing close to the airport runways, emergency lights were lit by land crew if, by some slim possibility, the UFO was actually an errant aircraft experiencing technical difficulties. Due to multiple sightings of these anomalous lights, Captain Fernando Camara was soon dispatched from the nearby Los Llanos Air Base in a Mirage F-1 to identify the mysterious UFOs at 040 hours. Here, the pilot experienced equally or even more extraordinary events than that of crew TAE JK-297. Camara was forced to increase his speed to 1.4 Mach, or 1,074 miles per hour, just to make visual contact with an object he perceived as a truncated cone shape displaying a bright, changing color. Despite his efforts to approach the object, it quickly disappeared from sight. The pilot was then informed of a new radar echo indicating another object may be near Sagunto. The pilot took multiple pursuit vectors to approach this second object, including traveling over the Mediterranean and the nearby Spanish inland territories, just to have the object quickly dart away as he approached. Eventually, as Camara neared the UFO, it seemingly responded, acknowledging his fighter jet. It was at this time the pilot had his avionics scrambled. The Mirage F-1's electronic flight systems were jammed and the onboard alert system warned Camara he was actively locked on by a continuous wave missile radar. The UFO then rapidly accelerated away towards mainland Africa. After nearly an hour and a half of pursuit, and dangerously low on fuel, the pilot returned to base. This sighting took Spain by storm, reaching its parliament in September of 1980. After some representatives asked for an official explanation, it's unfortunate that the sighting was dismissed as a series of freak optical illusions. Okay, so let's review the facts of our case. TAE Flight JK-297 observed a set of red lights approaching their aircraft. After changing their altitude from 23,000 feet to avoid any collisions with the craft, the object matched the aircraft's trajectory and maintained a distance of 0.5 to 5 miles. Due to safety concerns of the crew, the flight decides to perform an emergency landing. Shortly before the emergency landing, two more UFOs appear with an estimated diameter of 200 meters. One object flies close to the nearby airstrip, so on-ground employees turn on emergency lighting in case a rogue aircraft is in trouble. Multiple Marine airbase personnel witness strange moving lights in the sky. A Mirage F-1 is dispatched to investigate and must travel 1.4 Mach to even approach near the object. The pilot observes a conical shape before it rapidly accelerates out of sight. The pilot is ordered to pursue a second signature which, when close, actively scrambles his avionics equipment and onboard sensors. Please note that Camara also states the object jammed his attempts to lock onto it with an IR missile. Now, what stands out to me most about this case is not the crew aborting its flight path due to UFOs, but actually the sensory equipment failure of the Mirage F-1. Believe me, this jamming has occurred multiple times in public UFO military cases. Everyone knows the story of Commander David Fravor's Tic Tac sighting in 04 off the coast of San Diego. Did you know he says that the objects, plural, actively jammed the radar and sensory equipment of the jets. And even more interesting, let's take a look at the 1976 Tehran UFO incident. This famous encounter details the experience of Major Parviz Jafari of the Imperial Iranian Air Force. In 1976, he was one of two jets dispatched to intercept a UFO that had been detected hovering over Tehran in his F-4 Phantom II jet. The first of the two pilots lost all instruments and communication abilities when approaching the object, so he was forced to turn back. 10 minutes later, Jafari was scrambled to intercept the UFO. While traveling at Mach 1, the Major observed the object 70 miles out, instantaneously jumped 10 degrees to his right. At this distance, the craft performed an instantaneous 26-mile jump in under a second. While approaching the seemingly diamond-shaped UFO, a smaller, spherical object separated from it and approached the F-4 Phantom II. Jafari's only instinct was to engage the smaller object with his weaponry, but when attempting to target the object, all of its instruments on board, including targeting and radio, went haywire. Frightening Jafari tremendously, he made the decision to emergency exit if the object approached within 2 miles of him. The pilot then performed evasive maneuvers to fly away from the object, where his instrumentation returned to normal and he regained contact with aerial command. This Tehran incident is one of my favorite encounters, and soon I'd like to make a video on global Air Force UFO encounters, but I just wanted to throw that in as another instance in which a military fighter jet experienced total instrument failure when engaging a UFO. Like with any credible sighting, with multiple eyewitnesses and multi-sensory data, we need to visit the McWest level debunk panel. So for this specific case, apparently the lights the Super Caravelle saw in 1979 were the lights of the combustion towers of the Escombrera refinery near Cartagena. This stationary lights do not account for the fact the trained pilots said that the lights approached their aircraft and maintained altitude while they performed evasive maneuvers and maintained a close distance to the aircraft of 0.5 to 5 miles. Apparently, these lights sent the captain into an anxiety attack, forcing him to land the plane, and as well as the co-pilot and flight mechanic, they did not seem to argue with this rationale, and they must have been inflicted with anxiety attacks as well. The moving lights that were seen by multiple Manassas airport personnel and nearby Marines, as well as the UFO that was seen near the airstrip, thus the emergency lighting was turned on in case there was a rogue aircraft, is apparently stars or planets. The same thing with every case. Everything just boils down to trained pilots and trained observers or people on the ground misconstruing Venus or Jupiter as a UFO, even though these lights are flashing, multicolored, move, or are as craft that are identifiable. The Mirage F1 explanation is both the most comical and most reasonable at the same time. At this time in 1979, the Iranian hostage crisis was being resolved, and stationed near the Mediterranean was the U.S. 6th Fleet. The scrambling of the instrumentation is said is due to powerful electronic scrambling signatures on board two LHP to Iwo Jima helicopter carriers. However, pilot Fernando Camara rejects this explanation, stating that he was both too far away from this fleet to interfere with his flight navigation, radio, emergency controls, so forth. And this doesn't account for the truncated cone shape that he witnessed with his own eyes, as well as a craft that would speed away from him as he would approach it going 1.4 Mach. Furthermore, this explanation of the 6th Fleet does not explain the instance on which he tried to lock onto the UFO with an IR missile, where his systems were actively jammed. So to summarize that debunk panel, we have a confusion of stars. We have a refinery tower that a trained pilot gets an anxiety attack and must land his plane. And we have a pilot who is seen a mirage with his own eyes and his jet, and it's just a U.S. fleet that's who knows how nearby. So to me, at least, that debunk panel doesn't hold up. I think that's a lot of coincidences at once that just does not stand up to me. I think this case is incredibly interesting, and I think it is one of the world's most interesting cases. And it is, no matter how you look at it, true or false, the first recorded story of a commercial airliner being grounded due to a sighting of a UFO. But what do you think on this case? Have you heard about this case? Because it flies kind of under the radar to me, but it is Spain's most famous UFO case. If you've heard of it, let me know. When did you hear about it? What do you think about it? If you haven't, what do you think about it? Think it's real? Or do you think it's fake? Or do you think it's an anxiety attack by a pilot and multiple eyewitnesses being confused? And I guess the similarities between that and the 1976 Tehran incident with the Mirage jet are just that, a coincidence. But I'll be fully transparent. I think this case is legitimate. Thank you, guys. And I hope you enjoyed the short documentary, another one. I know we're supposed to be on our Iceberg Part 3, and that will be coming. I just have been struck with some inspiration lately to make some of these documentary cases. I think they're fascinating. I have a ton more. I want to make a sort of global Air Force UFO encounter video pretty soon. I have some interesting cases from the U.S., Peru as well, and all over the world. So stay tuned. Let me know in the comments what kind of video you want to see next. Like and subscribe to the channel, and I'll catch you guys next time.